there is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it. No matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, as always, my co-host and producer, Tim Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
Hey, diddle diddle.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Hey, did you hear the news this week? I don't know if I'm the only one that heard this. If anybody else did, back me up on this, Robiner. You know, we mentioned a few months ago of the untimely passing of Art Bell's wife.
Right.
And I just read that he was remarried.
Yeah.
And he's moving to, like, Indonesia.
Somebody called into a show like a month ago. I was listening to a show, and he said, "Congratulations on your new bride." And I thought, "Whoa, that was quick."
Kind of interesting stuff, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, for everybody that's tuning in tonight, if you originally remember, we were broadcasting our interview with Rosemary Ellen Guiley regarding dreams, and Jeff Ballinger talking about nightmares in the Nightmare Encyclopedia. Our guests were shuffled around a little bit because we wanted to accommodate a guest that we have with us tonight. We had the opportunity of finding out this gentleman happened to be in Minnesota right here with us this week, so we wanted to try to squeeze him in while we could and talk about the events that he has coming up. So stick with us on that. For the people that are tuning in for the drawing about the TAPS trip that we're doing, that has been officially sold out. We've sold out all of the spots. There are no more spots available. I do encourage you, if you've purchased the tickets to attend, make sure you call and book your hotel room to make sure that you get the special price that they are making available to our guests. So you want to check that out. We're going to do the drawing a little later, but right now let's get started with the show. Our guest this evening is Wayne Herschel, and Wayne was born in Zimbabwe, Africa in 1959. As a youth, he was part of a large number of people to experience a paranormal light event, and this experience inspired him to believe that we can't possibly be alone in the universe, and it ignited his passion for exploring ancient paranormal events and civilizations. It was through this passion that that a string of findings validated his theory that the genesis of humanity is linked to the stars. And Wayne currently lives and works in South Africa. He's begun work on a sequel to the book that we're here to talk about tonight, which is The Hidden Records. It was written by Wayne Herschel, and it was co-written by Birgit Lederer. And you can get that book if you go to our website. There's a picture of the book on the website. Under shows, click on it. It'll actually take you to where you can order that book right now. It's a fantastic read. You will definitely enjoy it. And I'd like to welcome to the show Wayne. Good evening, Wayne.
Hi, Dave. Good to be here.
Thank you very much for joining us, especially on the short notice. I appreciate you coming up and spending some time with us tonight. Now, the reason that we invited Wayne as well to be on a part of the show, we've got probably one of the most highly anticipated movies of all time coming out this next week.
X3.
Yes, X-Men. No, Tim, that's not it.
Oh.
It's The Da Vinci Code. And as everybody knows, the book has been a runaway smash hit. There's incredible politics going out there in religion right now because of the Da Vinci Code movie and the book and the philosophies that there's more to the story of the Bible. Wayne is here to talk to us a little bit about the true meaning behind the Da Vinci Code. He's also going to talk to us about his books. But Wayne, let's start off at the beginning here. Can you tell us a little bit about what, and I know we mentioned that you had a light anomaly that you were part of. What exactly got you inspired in this and what led you up to that?
It started when I was about 13, somewhere around there. I saw a sighting in Zimbabwe at the time that was in the newspapers the next day. And seeing these lights in the sky, one has to wonder, you know, where did they come from, and was this in history? Later on, in my 20s, I had a near-death experience in a motorcycle accident and had this out-of-body experience. So I could see that this soul could exist and think outside of the body. Put the two together, and I had this quest to try and just soul search and find out the meaning behind life.
All right. And with that kind of led you through this. Now, have you had other experiences with UFO activity or paranormal activity since that time?
Not to my knowledge. I must say, on researching the subject, the so-called missing time phenomenon, I have a few questionable times, and that will be a project in the future. I'd like to find out more about that sort of thing.
Did those missing times take place in the 60s, Wayne?
No.
Okay. Because I know a lot of people are missing a lot of time from the 60s.
I don't remember the 90s, to
That's
be honest
right.
with you.
Going forward now with the book, The Hidden Records, and you can actually check out the website, and it's amazing if you get a chance. Please do check it out. It's thehiddenrecords.com. 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 You can go there, read all about the book, read about his research and the things he's done.
Later, Dave, as we get into stuff with Wayne, you're going to want to play along at home and get on the website.
Yeah, definitely. There's some stuff there you're going to want to check out if you're listening. I would like to welcome two people I forgot to mention from Ghostex Radio in Australia. I'd like to welcome you to the show this evening. And thank you very much for tuning in with us. Wayne, now with the book, what kind of inspired you, and how long ago did you actually set out to start writing this book?
The big inspiration came after the well-known Robert Bovall theory of the three pyramids of Giza matching the three Orion stars. In that time, I was into amateur astronomy, and I could see flaws in the general sort of theory on the whole scale of all the pyramids. So it didn't take too long to go and check it out.
What, can you give us a little background? What is that theory that he had?
Well, he had the scholars quite happy with his three stars of Orion matching three pyramids. But, you know, two points that join a line are not coincidence. You can make any two points into a shape, and the third one is just a coincidence. So scholars still didn't take it too seriously when they looked at what he had proposed for the other pyramids fitting in as the outer stars of Orion. I could see something a little bit more than Orion in play there. There was Sirius and Aldebaran, two stars that are quite far away, that fitted into a completely new template.
Okay, and how did you come across that?
Stars on in an atlas. If you have a computer program with a star atlas on it, it isn't too difficult to draw the lines between the prime constellations. Now, if this is real, it would have to include only the brightest stars in the known constellations. So it isn't too hard to put it onto a transparency and then put an overlay over the pyramids to see what fits where.
So you were able to do this, and you were actually able to track these star maps and find that they correlate exactly with the pyramids. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. All 50 pyramids in Lower Egypt, would you believe it? And this is something that sounds too far-fetched until you see the images, and this is the whole advantage of the website. You can see the images. I put them up. The 50 pyramid correlations, large pyramids with large stars, and the smaller ones with the surrounding smaller stars, all of a link of adjoining constellations going right the way around the Earth. That's 360 degrees.
And it's all right there. And if people do check in on the website, they can see your links and the correlations.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you believe that these are here to tell us?
The proverbial X on the star map. Why would they draw this intricate layout of stars and only one side of the Milky Way? I think it's showing one very important star. There's one amazing anomaly that was the most famous in Egyptology. It was the gold-capped obelisk of Memphis in the area that was on the edge of Abusir. That, I think, fits the proverbial X on the star map. Well, would you believe it? It was called a sun temple, and the correlating star was the only one out of all 50 that was sun-like. Go figure.
Oh, okay. So there's a correlation with the way that the temples are laid out and the stars themselves.
Yeah, being a sun-like star out of all of the others being non-sun-like, it's saying that Ra had something to do with a nearby solar system, perhaps.
So your belief is that we're not indigenous to this planet.
As the story got deeper, I looked at other civilizations and checked that exact same template. It was quite easy when you have a template that seems to work in one ancient civilization, and then go to Angkor Wat, go to the Mayan pyramids, and look for that similar pattern. You know, if you've got the answer to a question and go look for it, especially with patterns, it's quite easy to solve. And would you believe it, that template fits in most of the ancient civilizations.
So you've been able to find the same star map templates in different civilizations?
Absolutely correct. Who would believe Stonehenge would fit into the picture as well? This is the first time that Stonehenge has ever fit into a pyramid-type theory link.
And how do you feel that it fits in?
Well, if you look across from Stonehenge in the UK, there's one thing that you notice is these strange mounds on the hill across the valley. And these anomalies are called barrows. They are pretty much dome-type pyramids with tomb recesses inside them. Look at them from above and compare the template. It's an exact match of the most sacred part.
So you feel that this is their way of road mapping, showing where we came from in the stars. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think if it's real, if they were so-called flesh and blood visitors of the ancients, let's just say that they're our ancestors for the beginning of the debate, you would imagine that the most emotional attachment to stars in the heavens would be their own, or the place that their gods came from. And I think that's exactly what it's saying. When we landed on the moon, what did we do? Well, the Americans, of course, I'm South African, I admired the way that the American flag was stuck into the soil, and well, the dust on the moon, and it was American flag. This is who we are. We done it.
Okay. We do have a question here from one of our listeners that was emailed in prior to the show. And if you have questions for Wayne, you can give us a call at 612-375-1400. Again, that number is 612-375-1400. Or you can email me at dave@darknessradio.com. Again, that's dave@darknessradio.com, and just put in the regarding line that you have a question for Wayne, and we'll try to get it talked about on the air here. But this question comes from Stacy, also known as Animus on the board. She's from Minnesota. One of the main criticisms of your theories, Wayne, is that she says that stars shift and that the positions would differ today from when the pyramids were actually built. How much do stars actually shift, and how would you refute that issue?
Very good question, and a lot of people have asked that. If you look at the prime constellations, I think it's the first thing we've got to set out is the stars that you see in the night sky with the naked eye, 99.9% of them are supergiant stars that are very, very far away, beyond 400 light years away, and the apparent movement is very, very slight. And if you look over a period of, let's say, 20,000 years or 50,000 years, they appear to be pretty still. Now, looking at close, nearby, and sun-like stars specifically, they're very tiny, they're very hard to see, but looking at the sun-like star in comparison to the brighter ones, there is huge movement with the smaller ones in comparison to their backgrounds.
Okay. Now, the other question we have on here comes from David from Natchez, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. He wants to know that on your website, Hidden Records, thehiddenrecords.com, is that the Betty and Barney Hill star map?
Afraid not. It is different. The Betty Hill star map was something to do with the Vega constellation. It is completely different, but again, it is with the lineage of the so-called gray alien.
Okay, can you give us a little background for people that are not familiar with it? Who are Betty and Barney Hill, and what is their star map?
Yeah, they were abductees. They were driving home one night, saw something across over the fields, and they had the missing time phenomena. Later on, remembering through, I don't think it was hypnosis, I think they just straight out the next day remembered lots of the so-called, it was almost like a surgical event that took place, and they were given information as well.
Okay, and they were given a star map. Wasn't it actually afterwards that they were able to find, scientists were able to find the patterns and the constellations that they talked about?
I see that astronomer tried to reason the best correlation was, but it wasn't an exact match, but it was pretty close to a specific star area, not relating to the story we have here.
Okay. Now, for everybody tuning in, especially here in the Minnesota area, you can see Wayne. He will be on doing two talks on Wednesday, the 24th of May at 6:30 at the new Edina Library, which is located at 5280 Grandview Square in Edina. Then again on Thursday, the 25th of May at 3 p.m. at Southdale Area Library, which is 7001 York Avenue South in Edina. I'll have those put up on the website by the end of the show. We'll have Robin probably put those up for you so that people can find the location. But I encourage you to come out and see this. He's got some great slides that he can show you. These actually constellations show you everything with the star maps lining up. Now, let me ask you, what exactly does this have to do with the Da Vinci codes?
Yeah, one might wonder, especially everybody trying to get onto the bandwagon. This happened, about 8-9 years ago. I realized that there's a message inside these ancient civilizations. There's a pattern, a geometric pattern, that took me a while to solve, and after a bit of persistence, looking into the human layout, the design of a human standing with his arms outstretched. Made me think of the Da Vinci Man, especially seeing it in some of the ancient sites, like near Stonehenge. There's a place called Dorset. There's a man on the side of a mountain, a very naked man. There are three, in fact, in your backyard, Arizona, there are three men positioned in this strange arms outstretched.
Yeah, let's be careful. Don't tell people I have a naked man in my backyard, Wayne.
it's pretty close to the Amazon border. I've got the images on the website. You can compare them. And in a 17,000-year-old cave painting, same thing. This man standing naked with arms outstretched. And it seems to be representing the constellation Orion. And it's on his belt pointing the way. This is why the recognition that he's naked. It's not his belt pointing the way. It's a part of his anatomy.
Hey, now.
Yeah, say no more. So this pattern I found many years ago. It seemed to be Da Vinci's Vitruvian Man. It actually went further than that. And for the simplicity of the book, we stuck to the Da Vinci template because it's quite easy to compare. But it's in the arms in a position that Da Vinci didn't show. And I think it was for a reason at the time that he couldn't show it replicating a five-pointed star in a circle, which at that time, people were being burnt at the stake. And there was a story that goes back it's another 1,000-odd years before this story, 1,500 years earlier. Vitruvius, the man that seemed to have had the picture, was alive at the time of Christ, and he showed the man with the arms and the full arms extended above the head position, and that is the secret to making sense of this unique position of a man superimposing into these star maps.
All right. We're going to be back with more about the Da Vinci Code, doing some more of the research into the codex with that. We'll also talk about some other fascinating topics that Wayne has covered with us over the last few days here. You can keep your dial right here on AM 1470 KLBB. You can also listen to us live at www.darknessradio.com and click on the Listen tab. We'll be back with more and Wayne right after this.
Once you have seen Dave and Tim in the light, you'll understand why we must return to the darkness on the edge of town. Stay tuned. There is more to come.
This is Dave Schrader from the Darkness on the Edge of Town radio show. Each week, we delve into the web of the unknown and deal with a lot of scary subjects. But nothing makes my blood run colder or scares me more than dealing with technology. That's why we turned to the experts when we wanted our website for the show set up and maintained. In the studio with me is Don Raleigh, owner of Evolve Systems. Don and his exceptional staff were easy to work with and made setting up our site a breeze. Don, what is it that sets you apart from other web developers?
Well, Dave, we make your business visions come to life by creating, maintaining, and hosting all of your internet needs. We do this by listening to our clients. We offer programs and price plans to fit any budget. And Dave, I mean any budget. Call us at 651-628-4000 and put us to work for you.
Call Don at Evolve Systems, 651-628-4000. I did, and I couldn't be happier with the results.
That's because we take the ugh out of technology, Dave. Call us today at 651-628-4000 or visit us on the web at www.evolve-systems.com, serving the entire United States. That's Evolve Systems, helping you to manage change. Cheers.
If you read Tap's Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
I could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Tap's Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters, to the latest trends in technology, the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
If it weren't for ghosts and aliens, these guys wouldn't be getting any action at all.
Yeah, baby!
I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town. This is Dave Schrader. Along with us, our guest this evening is the author of The Hidden Records. His name is Wayne Herschel. It was co-written by Birgit Lederer, and Wayne is on hand to talk to us about everything from Da Vinci Codes to the beginning of man, alien civilizations, and just about any kind of cool topic you could think of. He's going to be a great guest to be with us. He's going to be here for the full 2 hours. If you have any questions for Wayne, you can give us a call at 612-375-1400. Again, that's 612-375-1400. Before we get too deeply in, we do have a call on line one, so why don't we go ahead and take that. We've got Dan on line one. Dan, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here with you, Dave.
Hey, thanks for calling in. Dan, what would you like to ask Wayne?
Basically, Wayne, I'm going to try to do this without stuttering like I just did. Wayne, were you influenced at all by Eric von Däniken or Zachariah Sitchin in the research of any of your theories, or did they help you to get interested in researching your theories into the star map?
You're right. Eric von Däniken was some book that I picked up at school days. And, yeah, like most kids kind of wondered, you know, gee whiz, you know, why aren't there more books like this? So that was a very, very big inspiration. But I seem to forget about it many years later until the Sitchin books came out. And I wasn't a library type person, but when somebody else had a good book, I made sure I borrowed it. And it didn't take long that I had regular trips to the library. So it became almost an obsession to get to the truth.
Cool. Thanks a lot, Wayne.
Hey, Dan, thanks for calling in. I'll tell you what, if we can keep you on hold here, we're going to give you a copy of Wayne's book, The Hidden Records. We'll have Robin, the phone girl, grab your call here. She'll get the address. Just give her the information. We'll mail that out to you. We'll get it autographed out to you as well.
Oh, excellent. Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thank you, Dan. Have a great night. Show. Thanks for tuning in. All right, so we were starting to talk more about The Da Vinci Code, and with the popularity of the movie out right now, it only seems to be smart to kind of talk about that and yeah. kind of how it links in. Do you cover that in your book as well?
You know what? In the book, we look at the very basic Da Vinci Vitruvian Man and an alternate interpretation of it, which I think Da Vinci, by the looks of it, left it out at the time, as I said earlier on, because of the this connection of a star in a circle, which was taboo at the time of Da Vinci. The amazing thing is there's been so much popularity in it. Now, when the book came out, you know, who was Dan Brown? I didn't even know the guy existed. And my brother phoned me, it was about 6 months later, said, hey, have you seen this book? And your Da Vinci Man is a big deal here. So I said, what? And it is kind of different. They were looking at the Mary Magdalene theory behind the Holy Grail. It didn't perturb me too much, but then I realized this is the thing that people want to hear about. I didn't know it would be so popular. I would have covered more of it, but that's what websites are for. So the reasoning in depth behind this Vitruvian Man, I now have pages of it on the internet because people need to see how far back it goes. It goes back millennia, this strange cosmic man, if you want to call him that. So that's kind of where it goes back.
Now, on your website, you actually show some of these Da Vinci codes by breaking them down in the photographs.
Yeah.
You've got some, I think, like six of his paintings up. You've put up some of the codes for about three of them, correct?
Yes. Oh, sorry, I left out the most important thing. Is there a code in the paintings? Because that's how I think the publicity went, that, you know, it was all the paintings, the Mona Lisa, the Virgin of the Rocks, and there's strange things and legends attached to these paintings having a secret inside of them. I didn't believe them either. I mean, I looked at them at first and thought they looked like normal paintings, and then it did occur to me on some of them there were these obscurities, like a man pointing in the Last Supper in a weird way, or the Virgin of the Rocks and the Christ child in a strange position. I thought, well, let's look into it. Now, having the Vitruvian Man being such an important part of all the ancient civilization, the first thing that came to mind was, well, if this template is supposed to be sacred geometry, because that was my question, is it really the big deal behind all the so-called legends of sacred geometry? And if this is the real thing, let's put it in the middle of the painting and see what happens. I think people have to see the images because, again, it's going to sound far-fetched, but this template of the Vitruvian Man altered fits in all of Da Vinci's famous paintings. I think I've got three of them loaded already on the website, so people can look at the clues that have been published already, that many people have written about what this clue is and what they think the next clue is, and have tried drawing in lines. I mean, everybody knows on the Last Supper, the M shape between the Christ figure and what is a big debate. Is it Mary Magdalene or John the, I think it was, what was his name? Anyway, the other person.
John Lennon? I loved him when he was at the
It shows
Beatles.
He's not important. Right. to me, it's a Mary Magdalene character. I'm pretty sure it is a Mary Magdalene. I mean, the face, the nose, the lips, this is a woman. And it's quite likely that she would be downplayed, especially if this was the person that was close to the Christ figure. So I've been thinking of it all along since I first saw that this must be the Mary Magdalene character. And would it be such a bad thing if Christ had a bride? I mean, he was a Hebrew. He was a rabbi. His name was actually Yeshua. And this is something that I found out much later and I thought, what? And the film, the Christ Passion, The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson's latest movie, he used the actual name Yeshua. It might be Aramaic or Hebrew, I'm not even sure. But why did his name change to Jesus? That's the actual pronunciation in early Greek. So that research already had me off my feet. I didn't know there would be anything important about it. But the more you get into it, the more you see that there was was the ultimate connection of the Christ with the creation. That is undeniable, and dare anybody try to take that away from the history, because it is written in stone, so to speak. And the other thing was that he tried to teach us. He was a teacher, and if we were to follow him, what was he trying to teach us? And sure, there was a man that came later, 300 years after Christ died, and decided, well, there's 20 or 30 odd gospels. Let's decide what the Roman population will take as serious. And he only picked out four. Now, what gives this guy the right for our future? I mean, for us to believe only four of the gospels. Right now, historians are looking deeper into these gospels. You've just seen the gospel of Judas that has come out. You know, there's a funny thing on that too, if I can keep talking, because it's the star story. It's the stars that the National Geographic film showed when Christ said to Jesus, to Judas, and I'll quote, Judas, the star that you see there is also your star. And then they show you the camera picking up to the sky. Now, what inspired National Geographic to show three stars in a row, and the so-called mystery star really baffles me, because this is what I'm looking for. I found it in other ancient civilizations that you use Orion's three belt alignment to find the sun-like star. So there it is, already coming out in the Judas Gospel. So the fitting of this Vitruvian man over the Da Vinci painting seems to tell me that this is something about the divinity of the human lineage. And I think it would be a big thing to cover up in ancient times if it was real. Who can have slavery? Who can even speak badly to a woman or treat another human being poorly? Because we are all of that sacred lineage. So sure, they would have covered it up. Sure, Judas would have probably been killed. I don't think he hung himself. I think he probably was murdered by the Roman authorities that saw the Grail. Now, this is the question. What is the Grail? Can I keep talking?
Yeah, please. You're like much more interesting.
Yeah, well, really.
What is the Grail? Now, in essence, it came from the word sangreal or sangreal. But in essence, it's like a dish or a goblet, either way or the other. It's quite likely, if you look at the Christ figure in all the depictions, there's this mysterious halo behind the Christ figure head. Now, not many people realize what the sacred cross is. It's got nothing to do with the cross that he was crucified on. It is something that the man who put Christianity on the rock claimed he saw in the sky. This is Constantine, 300 years after Christ died or so. He associated something in the sky with this great man who he said was the Son of God. Well, a bit of research on my website. I'm still very, undecided. I'm very religious. And to see this sort of thing kind of makes me question, gosh, you know, where is it all going? But there's a positive end result. It seems to be showing something tying into what to me sounds more perfect than what we've been given. And that's that we're all of this beautiful, let's say, alien lineage. Is that a bad word? Yeah, that is a bad word.
No, I think that fits.
Well, we're all aliens. We've invaded this planet, looks like 17,000 years ago. And poor Neanderthal didn't have a hope. We colonized the whole northern hemisphere, and didn't take long before the Neanderthal was extinct. And our lineage is very unique. It's very different. We have bones that are more porous than any other creature. We have muscle connections that are one-third less connected than most creatures. What the heck is our lineage? You know, where does it come from? So, you know, you've got to ask that.
Well, so your theory is that we were brought here and we wiped out Neanderthal man. Do you think that for religious, let's say, a religious background, is that how the Bible can coexist with the findings of dinosaurs? You know, for so long it's been, the earth was created in 7 days, there was no dinosaurs, you know, the creationists versus the evolutionists. Do you feel that that's what it was? That, you know, with our Bible that we brought from whatever planet or star that we're from, that Bible covered us there but not here?
Well, in Genesis, would you believe it, a recent Hebrew professor has really come out and said, no, science fits here. If you look at it might be the third or the fourth day, the great Tzannin. In modern Bibles, they refer to it as the great whales. Not at all. The great Tzannin are the great lizards. It has a day when the lizards roamed the earth, and it shortly followed the next day by the birds.
And that's mentioned in what Bible?
Well, that is in Genesis. It is in Hebrew. In fact, our modern versions call it, the great whale. So that is incorrect according to specialists. So the dinosaurs do fit into the days of creation. But here's what people don't realize. This is viewing the whole of the cosmos from the place of creation. Now, time, as this professor made quite clear, if you're at the middle of the universe, the time, what would take a minute there is not the same as what is a minute out here on the edge of the universe. Mars. Just to give you a quick example, it is NASA fact, NASA science from the space research, that a minute on Jupiter is not the same as a minute on Earth. Using atomic clocks, they do vary. It must be, I think it's gravity or something, but you know, time alters with gravity and distance. And if you're at the middle of the universe, what could take one day, maybe millions of years out here in our little galaxy out here, which we have our little solar system called Solas, the sun. The 6 days of creation are there, the dinosaurs are there, but more importantly to me is the Adam, Eve, and the firstborn Cain. If you take the Hebrew words, now this I have been debating with all different scholars, and I get different answers. I get people that are very religious and they say, no, this is nonsense. But in a general consensus, the name for human is Adam in Hebrew. Now take context in Genesis and take the name Eve. Eve is supposed to mean to give life in the ancient Hebrew. Now, relook at that sentence again, humans to be given life, and the word for create can also mean bring forth and propagate. We're now propagating in their likeness and in their form. That is a their plural. It's not a mistake. All Bibles have it. That explains this theory of people colonizing our planet. And would it be a bad thing? Nope. We've come from somewhere great. There is a creator. It's just that we arrived here and we are the descendants of people that seem to colonize. So this is going to be a long debate, but you know, in time, I think there's going to be a mixing of science, history, ancient translations. They will get to the bottom of it. It's just a matter of time.
Great. We're going to be right back. We're going to be here with Wayne Herschel, the author of The Hidden Records, discussing more about his views on this form into religion and where we came from, talking more about the Da Vinci Code and more right after this.
Adopting aliens and giving them good homes since 1953. Just don't tell our landlord.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
It's Dave and Tim, shacking up in the darkness on the edge of town.
Howdy, this is Don Raleigh from Evolve Systems. Evolve Systems can't help you lose weight, we don't know anything about diamonds, and we can't help you save a boatload of money on your car insurance. What we can do is help you with your merchant processing. We work with small businesses to provide credit card processing, debit card processing, gift cards, and check acceptance. Whether you need a point-of-sale system, a credit card terminal, or want to accept payments over the internet, Evolve Systems will work with your small business to find the right solution for your merchant processing needs. Ask us how you can get a free copy of QuickBooks 2006. You can reach us at 651-628-4000 or on the internet at www.evolve-systems.com. Now you have a friend. Well, not yet, but give us a call at 651-628-4000 and we can chat. Evolve Systems, where we help you to manage change. This is Don Raleigh. Cheers.
2006 is here, and for many of you, another year has passed without treating you and your loved ones to a much-needed getaway. Rocky Shores Resort has just what you're looking for. Join owners Jerry and Kim Pip at their family-themed resort that offers a heated outdoor swimming pool, volleyball court, playground, spacious lodge with games and activities for the whole family and more. With 6, 2, and 3-bedroom cabins that are affordable, comfortable, and fully furnished, and 12 seasonal RV sites, Rocky Shores Resorts is perfect for a private escape or for a family reunion. The resort are located on the east shores of Bowstring Lake in the heart of the Chippewa National Forest. Here you can relax and enjoy nature in the Great North Woods, experience dozens of area attractions, and get hooked on some of the best northern perch, panfish, bass, and walleye fishing in northern Minnesota. Call 1-866-878-0101 to book reservations or check out their website at rockyshoresresort.com for more information. This year, don't ignore the call of the wild. Embrace it and enjoy yourselves. That number again is 1-866-878-0101. Rocky Shores Resort is open year-round. Call today.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology, the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
Ghosts, goblins, witches, creatures of the night. Yep, that just about covers everybody Dave and Tim have ever dated.
Turning me on.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
welcome back to The Darkness on the Edge of Town. I'm Dave Schrader. Along with me, my guest this evening is one of the authors of The Hidden Records. The authors are Wayne Herschel and Birgit Lederer. And we have in the studio with us this evening Wayne Herschel, who's here to discuss with us his book, The Hidden Records, which is, I guess this is volume one.
It is two.
We're going to be working on two more. Is that what you're hoping to hit here?
Correct. They are two, and they must wait now because we have to get book one out first.
Sure.
Everybody's complaining, I know, but it's just one of those things. You have to give book one a good chance first.
And if people are interested in buying this book, all they have to do is go to our website at darknessradio.com. Click on the on the show tab. You'll see the picture of Wayne. You'll see the picture of the book. Just click on the book. It'll take you right to the site. This is actually over at Whitley Strieber's site. You can order the book directly right there. So please, you know, do take a look at that and order the book. It's fascinating. You're going to love it. It's a great read. Also, for those of you in the Minnesota area, Wisconsin area, you'd like to see Wayne live, he's going to be doing two talks Wednesday, the 24th of May at 6:30 at the new Edina Library at 5280 Grandview Square in Edina. Then on Thursday, the 25th of May, he'll be at the Southdale Area Library at 3 p.m., which is 7001 York Avenue South in Edina as well. So you're definitely going to want to check those out. He's a fascinating man. He's got some great slides, great pictures. And for those of you that are just tuning in, you can go directly to Wayne's site while we're talking at www.thehiddenrecords.com. And that's plural, records.com. Go there, check it out. You can actually see the star maps that he's put there. You can see the pictures of the Da Vinci Code codes that we're talking about here with the paintings. Now, let me ask you, Wayne, kind of going back to the Da Vinci Code stuff, the pictures that appear in all of his art or in these six major paintings that you were talking about with these clues that he gives, why is it that he keeps putting this universal man in these paintings? What exactly is the philosophy behind that?
Yeah, it was a secret type thing. The so-called Priory of Sion, I'm not sure if it really existed, but it's no doubt that they had these ancient secrets that they perhaps discussed amongst the elite of the time of the day, that would be the artists or groups of the hierarchy at the time. They seemed to hold on to something that wasn't for the public viewing in connection with the true sort of divinity of this human form. I think it's quite amazing to see that there were other famous artists that were also mentioned in the so-called Priory of Sion. But the prime focus seemed to be around the sacred knowledge of geometry. Now, if you just have to look at Da Vinci's notebooks, he's written over 8,000 pages worth of notes, and that's quite a lot of stuff to go through. What he has covered in some of the more recent publications of his notes is the secret geometry in everything in nature and how it is of a divine design by a creator that's mathematical. It has all kinds of geometric shapes like equilaterals, right angles, 45 degree angles. But he looked at the golden mean in the design of the human form as a creator being a mathematical type of design. And it seems quite amazing that the human form does have this unique shape. Only when you put the arms in the upper position, which is not that he showed with his circle and square, but there was a hidden a five-sided shape as well. And that's what I think was not allowed at the time, because it did seem to fit in with the so-called witchcraft theory, which was prevalent at the time of the Renaissance era.
Okay, we have a question from Robin Bailey, I believe, that she had emailed in. Go ahead, Tim.
Robin's wondering, Wayne, how you feel about the backlash about the Da Vinci Code, just the general backlash that's out there in the media, I'm guessing. And have you felt any of the backlash yourself with your book, The Hidden Records?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, everybody's worried, especially people like myself that believe in the Christ story and how important it was that he came from a special place, that he wanted to teach humanity. He had all this great knowledge. He had this connection with the creator of the universe, that being threatened by all this new stuff that isn't even in the Bible. It isn't in written sources. So where's it coming from? Now, there's one thing that must be made very, very clear, and of course I have had backlash. I have had theologians go and say things about me. I've also tried to speak to them about my research, and the first thing they do is say, just drop it. You know, this is dangerous. You're going to cause people, even if it is real, you're going to cause them to lose faith in the Christ story. I have to say right now, although no matter what we do, if I do it, somebody, if I don't do it, somebody else will do it. So it's important that we look at what is coming out, and what really is coming out here are solid procreation type results, where the creation was spoken, with the Christ voice was the creation speaking. That seems to be unanimous. Number two, I think, is the second most important thing, is that the goodness and the purity behind this man's teachings. If one had to say to you, you know, to follow Christ, you must believe in his name. I think it's more than that. If he's a teacher, to follow, as he said, in my name, as a teacher, we should be looking at every single thing that he taught. And there's more than four gospels, so we need to find out a bit more about his human code of living. And that's what we should be following. And that sort of thing will never be lost. There's too much to show how good and how pure human beings could be if they really made an effort.
But why the backlash at all? I mean, what if Jesus had a wife and had children?
That's what I feel. I mean, you know, as a Hebrew, it would be respectful to have a wife. It wouldn't be a bad thing if the creation still speaks through him, whether it be if he's in trance. Who can say? But without a doubt, the wisdom attached with his voice, and when he was asked, you know, is this God? He said, yes, it is. And they hung him on the cross for it because they thought that was the ultimate blasphemy. But the amazing thing is that And I respect that churches feel a huge threat by all the stuff that has been covered up, stuff that didn't fit in the Renaissance era because of the romanticism attached with what they felt would be more comfortable. Angels had bird's wings. The same with the Egyptian story. The Egyptians had these discs with wings on them. What is a flying disc? For heaven's sakes, it's a disc that flies and shines like the sun. It isn't our sun that is flying. It's a disc. And to teach it with bird's wings, like people with bird's wings, was just teaching that it could fly.
Now, you had mentioned that that in the mentioning of you know, the pyramids and everything, with these outlines of the star maps, how do you believe the pyramids were built?
That it would have to involve advanced technology. I think it's quite sad to see so-called engineers and documentaries made when they say, look, we can prove that it was made with little bits of wood and knocking it with another block of granite to chip things away and get flat edges. Forget it. We're talking 60-ton blocks in the middle of the Great Pyramid that came from 1,000 kilometers away. That's quite a few miles, probably 600-700 miles. You know, go figure. Please, these blocks are just too big, too flat, too straight, too neat. Neatly fitting. There's no way on earth they could do that without having super technology.
So you believe that that's alien technology that they used?
Well, if our ancestors were alien, mm-hmm. that those are our ancestors. And would it be so bad if there was this amazing technological era before what I believe the biblical flood being the reason for the end of it that did wipe it out? And sadly, our ancestors directly are those people that crawled out of the mud. They would have started again like cavemen. Doesn't it make more sense that we've had all this amazing technology? It's quite likely that they would have been able to save a few basic parts of that technology, maybe the stone cutting device. If you follow the story of the journey that Moses took with the great Ark of the Covenant.
All right, the Exodus. Right?
Yeah, look at all the detail in with what might have been in that ark. You know, isn't it likely that he was given the tools to build a whole new city for his people? It would have been perhaps stone cutting devices, and yeah, maybe it did radiate some kind of radiation field of maybe microparticles that have not even atomic. There might have even been antimatter. Who knows? But there's a good chance that there was something in that box as well to build a new city.
What about the tie-ins with UFOs in the Bible? Do you honestly believe that UFOs do show up in the Bible and they're spoken about openly?
Very clearly. If you take the first opening lines of Ezekiel, that we have the so-called wheel within a wheel flying. And Ezekiel, in new Bibles, he looks like he's actually having a vision, and theologians like to believe it as such. But go back to an old Bible, a Bible that dates beyond 120 years old. I have one. I was very lucky to have one from my great-grandfather. And the first thing I did was compare, and you would be amazed. Somebody has stepped in and changed the actual text. Now, go and figure, go look for yourself, go into a library, you'll see old Bibles. It's not a very difficult thing to get hold of. And the writing in the old version, the 120-year-old version, will say a wheel within a wheel, both on their sides, and it's flying with both these wheels turning within each other on their sides. That is a disc, and on top of it, the detail is even more. It has a blue barrel dome over it. It created a cloud-like formation around it. It had a smell. It came from the east. This was no vision. Look at the new versions, and they say it's a wheel intersecting a wheel. Now, who changed that word? That's my question, and I'd like a good answer for that, because somebody believed they were God-inspired, apparently, who changed it. I want to know who did it.
So there was a few different mentions, though, right? There were two or three mentions throughout the Bible of...
Well, there's a lot more than that. The whole Moses story, absolutely. Okay. Look at the Moses story. He followed a great pillar of light in the night. So whatever it was in the sky made the beam of light. In the day, it was something like a cloud. Fine, we know that the cloud formation is common with UFO sightings. But more importantly, this object landed in a roofless tent that Moses built for it. But never mind that. Look at the Jacob's ladder story in the Bible. There's a lot more. Everywhere you look, where they mention the angelic beings that came down in clouds, I'm pretty sure that's been romanticized. At the time, it didn't fit. Go back 2,000 years or even 1,000 years, all the mechanical parts of this kind of story would not fit very well, and I don't think people would have even followed it. But romanticize it for the time, sure. That was a good teaching mechanism. But now is the time to go back in and get the facts. We need the nuts and bolts back again.
So if they've got these aliens appearing in the Bible that you're saying, it almost sounds like you're implying that it wasn't an angel, it wasn't the light of God that was leading these people. Is this what's causing the backlash? Because then the theologians and the church want it to be that it was of God or from God, not from another planet.
Good point. If you take the Moses story and the reference to the entities, let's say that, involved with the Moses story are cherubim, small childlike beings that were creatures, they were not human. Would it be, I'd say, more logical that these beings were perhaps guiding Moses through to the promised land to take them out of their suffering that they were in? Sure, I think that they might have been the ones that caused all those great plagues and things, perhaps to punish the Egyptians. But I think there's another important point here. This gray entity seems to go back even further in history. If it's in African history, from the northern parts of Africa, from the Dogon tribe down to Central Africa and even Southern Africa, they have all different names for a similar kind of creature that came in the night. And like a typical alien abduction as well, they seem to be more interested in human material, eggs from females, sperm from males, and they kind of left a message that this was for a greater cause. Heck knows what it is, but it's out there, and it's in the biblical writings, it's in the Sumerian writings. Now, the biggest debate, now this is something that I want people to think about, because I've tried to get it from a Hebrew source. I've tried to deal with Hebrew religious people, rabbis, but they don't like talking about it. It's actually very blasphemous for them to even just consider this idea. But I've read it in another book, and I've seen it as well from different points of view. The name Elohim, the whole Old Testament, is derived from what I believe, and I need proof of this, but it seems to be quite likely. The word Eloi, it comes from the word people, and the word Him is derived from heavens, the heavens. And put the two together, you have people from the heavens. That is not God in person coming down, as far as I'm concerned. This is a debate. You know, gosh, let's just see where it leads, but people have written about it.
So couldn't it be very much that God has sent these aliens to us? So in effect, they are of God or
exactly.
of the Creator.
That's the
Let's
point.
Let's stay away from offending anybody here on the show.
Angels, yeah.
Right, the angels are these things that are appearing with the glowing lights and the mysterious looks.
Exactly.
They are,
still
you know, it's paranormal and scientific and still coincide one-on-one.
They were still teaching about the creation. They still brought good living conditions for humans. The whole teaching was, again, trying to redirect our primitive society from warfare and abuse of people and that sort of thing. So yes, they were still teaching from the creation. That to me is all that counts. Let's not get all uppity about, you know, this is God, no it isn't. You know, gosh, let's look at the story and what the teachings are.
Tim, we had another question a little bit ago that was emailed into us. Who's this from?
This one is from Belle on the boards. She wants to know what Wayne's feelings were while he was at Stonehenge and the pyramids. And did you feel any special energies or have any unusual feelings or experiences while you were there?
Yeah. Stonehenge, afraid the sad result of being too many people visiting Stonehenge now is that you can't go in the middle of it. That would have been something that I could possibly meditate with or sit down and try and feel. But I'll tell you what, in the Great Pyramid, we were my partner and I were very, very lucky to go in very early in the morning where there were very few people and to lie in that sarcophagus. Now, I'll tell you what, I think the best way to describe it is if you've had, you know, a couple too many. It's almost like you're deprived of oxygen, there's a kind of euphoria state. And I was testing myself and wondering, you know, why do I feel so lightheaded? Now, another funny thing is I was taking photographs with a digital camera, and you wouldn't believe the kind of interference. First of all, the focusing mechanism, although the lighting was great, went crazy. They were very strange, what they call in this paranormal research, orbs. In every single photograph, there were these, looked like somebody was blowing bubbles everywhere. Huge, big bubbles. I mean, these were not just bits of dust that light catches and, oh gosh, you know, there's an orb. These were really big, round, perfectly round, millions of them. And there was no dust, I remember, in the area. And I wasn't even using a flash. So, man, go figure that one as well.
Well, but you're in a couple thousand-year-old pyramid. There's got to be dust and sand particles blowing around, isn't there?
But look at the mistake that they've had with some of the paranormal documentaries. I think even the TAPS one that you get here, they realize, obviously, if there's a spotlight and a bit of dust goes past a bright light source, the camera picks it up as a round blob. This was happening all over the show with their natural lighting, away from lights, and I think you just got to see it. It doesn't make any sense with a normal camera. I've recreated the same conditions in a dusty room with a similar lighting. You don't get it.
Okay, do you have pictures of those up by any chance?
Nope, that's from my second book.
Oh, sorry, excellent. Another book. Well, see, it's something to look forward to then. Yeah. We've got that going. Now, we are talking to Wayne Herschel, who is the author of The Hidden Records. He co-wrote it with Birgit Lederer, and Wayne is in town in Minnesota. He's from South Africa. He's here to do a couple of actual live events. He'll be starting on Wednesday, the 24th of May at 6:30 at the New Edina Library, which is at 5280 Grandview Square in Edina, Minnesota. It's a free event. You can come on in and join in with him. You'll be able to pick up his books. He'll be there autographing books as well.
I'm afraid not. Library conditions, no books to be sold. So,
really?
I will have sample books there for many of the scholars. I've invited a whole lot of astronomers, but gosh knows if they're going to come. We'll just have to see. But I'm trying to basically get a debate going and let people see this material for themselves and have professional people to debate with me afterwards. But I think books are pretty readily available. Thank goodness we've got Whitley Strieber delivering these books pretty quickly. So he's got a good stock. Although it says on back order, I've just sent him a whole bunch. So people can get books pretty quickly.
Well, Tim and I will be there, or at least I'll be there. I know one of the nights Tim and I should be there the second night, so maybe we'll just sell some out of the back trunk of our car.
Hey, there you go.
There we go.
Bootleg
so,
books.
So come on out. And then Thursday, the 25th of May at 3 p.m. at Southdale Area Library, which is 7001 York Avenue South in Edina. So you'll make sure that you want to come on out for that. We are going to be back after the top of the hour with more with Wayne Herschel. We're going to be talking about all different events. If you have questions, you can email them in to dave@darknessradio.com. Tim's checking those emails as we go along. Again, that's dave@darknessradio.com. And if you'd like to call in and talk to Wayne, get a chance to win a copy of his book autographed to you, you can give us a call at 612-375-1400. Again, that's 612-375-1400. We'd like to congratulate Daniel Davidson in the first hour for winning a copy of the signed book, The Hidden Records. When we come back after the top of the hour on the news, we're going to also be back to draw the name for the free TAPS trip. So if you've paid for the TAPS trip, which is the ghost hunting trip coming up the first weekend in June, we've put your names into a drawing. We're going to put Wayne on the spot here and make him draw you. If you get drawn, you have 15 minutes to give us a call at 612-375-1400. 15 minutes to call in and qualify. If you do not, we will redraw another name. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town